Welcome to Tell Me What You're Working On, where I speak to creatives in our community about what they do, how they do it, and why they do it. Have you been to Livid Skate Cafe in Scarborough? It's a cafe slash skate shop slash gallery space that also runs events. Who came up with this idea and what sparked it all? Oscar Tallis is the dude behind it. He has an entrepreneurial brain, an artist's sensibility, and is a great storyteller. Every project is driven by a passion for community and bringing people together to have a great time through creativity. Enjoy his adventures. Hi, Oscar. Thanks for joining me today.
No worries. My pleasure.
So you run Livid Skate Cafe.
Yep.
Tell me about it.
All right. The cafe is a little spot down on the beach. We opened it up about 3.5 years ago. Originally, it was really a place just to give the brand that we were doing at the time, or Livid, a home, so to speak. And, yeah, just a little – it's sort of broadened out a little bit into, you know, grew next door. We got a little gallery there. We just like to sort of make delicious coffees and toasties and hang out and do events and have exhibitions and have a good time, basically. And so far it's been a hoot.
So what was Livid before?
Originally it was just me making skateboards in my shed, basically. Initially when I was living in Switzerland, I teamed up with a friend over there who built snowboards, and we just started sort of making little old school skateboards. And yeah, it was just literally just making a couple of boards, you know, and then a friend was like, oh, you know, you can sort of put your own graphics and stuff on if you want, and started exploring that whole process, the construction process and that of the boards and how we can, you know, what was possible basically. And then the ideas were obviously to do some of our own graphics. That led to sort of teaming up with friends that were artists and photographers, and that just like grew exponentially, essentially, because there was so many talented people around. And from doing that, it became a thing of, oh, what are we going to do with these boards now, you know? So we started having exhibitions and little events and learning about licensing and councils and, you know, event space hire and staff and liquor, everything, you know. Yeah, and then it was for like the first sort of 3 years, I guess, 3 or 4 years, it was really about just, yeah, making boards and teaming up with people, travelling, like we're in Bali a bit and down south and all over the place, and meeting artists and sort of like going, hey, do you want to do a board with us? And they did, and then we'd do an exhibition and we'd involve those artists with the exhibitions and the events. Yeah, naturally we wanted to have a good time at the events, so we had musicians and bands and DJs come on board and help create the vibe of the event, I guess, and entertain people on the night and just sort of look at it as a bit of a different model, I guess, in comparison to like a traditional exhibition, like art exhibition. It was more about, you know,
opening it up.
Yeah, opening it up and just sort of having fun on the night, and it sort of, I guess, turned into a bit of a party sort of vibe, but also exhibiting the art in a very respectful way and on the skateboards. And so it was that sort of finding that sort of happy medium amidst the two. And yeah, and then I think the turning point to getting it to the cafe sort of stage was having a relationship with Dimatina Coffee. From we had a friend that worked for them. I still have a friend that works for them. Used to work for them, Tony. And she sort of said like, "Oh, we're sponsoring the events. You know, like we're putting a machine there." La la la. So the machines came. We made espresso martinis at all the events and had a good time. So we had this like beautiful relationship probably for the 2 years maybe before we had the shop with these guys, and they, you know, it was through having them there, I guess, the idea was like, oh, we'll get to do a coffee window, you know, we'll just do like coffees and we'll do skaties and clothes and be out of events. And then through advice of other friends, well, they're like, you can't just have coffee, you got to have food, or, you know, like you got to make it more of a cafe. And then it just sort of evolved, you know, through influences of various people and friends and family and people that knew what they were talking about probably more than me. And, yeah, and then it is what it is today, basically. But, yeah, initially it was literally like the real early sort of stages of making skateboards was just me making a skateboard in the shed. And
is that because you have an art background?
A little bit, I did architecture and I just always enjoyed, I did a bit of art as well, and I had that respect for art and a real interest in sort of construction and production and industrial design and creating things with my hands always since I was a kid. So that, I guess, you know, you just sort of like listen to what you really want to do, you know, and it was that. And I love skateboarding since I was tiny, you know, so I was always into these 80s skatey, you know, 80s skateboard shapes and these older sort of designs and really sort of, you know, that sort of surf style skating as well, and just sort of that culture and which surrounded that era, I guess. Yeah. And that really inspired me to sort of create these boards at the time, and then that just rolled on from one thing to another. And then we just had some really great people around us at the time that helped out, really, you know, and all came together.
And did you come from a creative background, like where creativity was nurtured?
Yeah, very much so. I think my parents like encouraged it from the get-go.
What did they do?
Dad's a musician, and Mum was also heavily involved with the record shop that we grew up in, and she's like also bit of a brainiac, you know, very intelligent and someone that inspired me in sort of like, I guess, maybe not alternative ways of thinking, but just looking at, I think, life in a different way, I think, also.
And just, so when you say record shop, you're talking about Monkey Music that was in Northbridge
that's the one.
90s?
Until 95.
Yeah.
The oldies had it, yeah. And, yeah, and we were sort of very, obviously just spent a lot of time there and listened to music flat out, and were exposed to a lot of live music and that from a young age. And I know that that's the reason really why live music is so prevalent now in what we do, in what I do at the cafe, you know. But, yeah, I think I definitely was exposed. Like, I remember going to a lot of art exhibitions even as a kid, you know, like random ones in warehouses in Northbridge and stuff, things like that. Like, I remember these, you know, like naked men dancing in like these pop-up things in these old warehouses, and just like really – even like this dude Colin that played with my dad in a band is an amazing artist still, Colin Atkins, and a great bass player and stuff. And I remember going to his studio as a kid and just being exposed to all this sort of stuff as a youngster. And then I did, you know, I did like art at school, but I wasn't really that good at painting or anything, but I was always really interested in it, and I always had a deep respect for it and admiration of people, talented people, and photography as well. Mum was shot a lot of photos, so I was always handed a camera from really young age, you know, so just always surrounded by that stuff, I guess. And looking now, you sort of realize why you are the way you are, I guess, you know. And then, yeah, that you're just a result of, well, I think I'm a real result of my upbringing and that influence from my parents and people around us growing up, you know, and friends, and, you know, also like friends since then, and as you all, you know, just been surrounded by sort of talented people and that culture, you know.
So how come you didn't pursue architecture?
Couldn't stand sitting at a desk all day. I worked for some great people. I did some, you know, I really still admire it, to be honest. I still love architecture. I still design. Like, we're working on something at the moment. I'm still designing every, you know, not every day, but quite a bit. And you know, built the shop in Scarborough with my own bare hands with friends and designed it and stuff as well, you know. So I still like it. I just, the practicality of sitting at a desk all day drives me bonkers. I just couldn't do it. I was working for a guy, Pete, in Subi, who's an amazing architect and deep respect, a lot of family friend, everything, like very good job, like couldn't have, you know, asked for much more after coming back from travelling. And just, I was just staring at the computer thinking, oh, I can't do this. I cannot sit here and look at this screen. I'm going to fucking throw it out the window sort of thing, you know. So
when you stopped that, did you have a plan or something that you were doing, or you just knew this is not right for me, I've got to find something else?
Yeah, so this is 2016, I'd been making skateboards for a couple of years at that stage. Yeah, really early sort of things in the skateboard design stuff. We'd had like one event, you know, it was a bit stagnant. I wasn't really, didn't have enough time or energy to sort of dedicate to it. I knew there was something in it that I felt like I'd started something and then it just drifted away a little bit. And I was like, it was a bit frustrating. I didn't have any clue what I was going to do for money or anything. You know, I was just sort of winging it. But I knew that I had to just stop that to find what I wanted to do, essentially. And yeah, and it was the right choice. And I think, I still sort of, you know, I think that architecture, the actual studying and all the work I did afterwards, even like the sort of 10 years I did from when I graduated to when I last worked in a firm, all contributed also to where I am now, and like all shaped, you know, all gave me certain skills or whatever it might have been to thing. And it's, I think the original architecture course was amazing in teaching you different ways of thinking and, like, yeah, in sort of embracing that creativity and sort of, like, obviously giving you skills and, like, to tackle whatever came up, you know, like design stuff or construction or whatever it might be. And I use, like, I literally use AutoCAD to design all the shapes of the boards we made, you know, and, like, put them on CNC routers and 3D modelled the moulds we used for the skateboards, you know, so that it was always still being used. And then in the practice of creating a space or you know, putting in plans that to councils and negotiating with councils, they probably have a bit of a background in that, so I found it quite easy. But I knew when I made the cafe, for example, I knew what it was going to look like in my head. I found I had no reason to detail draw it much or anything like that. I just knew how I wanted it, and we just got in there and built it, and it is what it is.
And are you still making boards?
Yeah, the last couple of years have been a bit hard. Shaped up a couple of weeks ago, but it's been a nightmare with COVID and getting materials and shipping in particular from Switzerland, because the freight's just so expensive. There's no planes coming in. So the last 2 years we've done barely any, and it's been really frustrating and whatnot, but we just sort of concentrated, I guess, on the cafe and that for now, and doing a bit of like merch and hats and tees and things like that and events, obviously. But things are starting to go back to normal, and getting pretty excited about running off a heap of boards again and shaping again and even doing like workshops with people that want to come and shape their own board, and really getting back to the roots a bit and taking it back a few steps and just getting dirty in the workshop and finding, you know, going back to that original sort of why I originally did it, you know. Yeah, it's definitely been an annoying couple of years, and it's hard to, like, I didn't even want to sell boards off the wall. Like, I had a few boards on the wall. I didn't want to sell them. And then I just said, you can have it. Whatever, you know, just take it. But it was, yeah, just because we didn't have any, you know, it's been quite frustrating.
And so the boards on the wall, it's a really interesting range of artwork for people that haven't been to the cafe yet. There's two walls that are full of amazing designs. Who designed those ones?
So all the boards in there now are really just stock boards. You know, we stock a bunch of Australian and international skate brands that are just, I mean, skateboards basically have always had an amazing history and relationship with artists, you know, and art of all types. But yeah, we stock a bunch of boards in there at the moment. But the real sort of goal, I guess, or the end vision would be just to have most of our boards in there, and they would feature sort of artists from all over WA and Australia and internationally, and go back to that original thing of having our boards in there. But it's been amazing to have other boards in there as well. And it's sort of, the original plan wasn't really for it to be a skate shop, but it's evolved, you know, as all things do, into that as well. And it's lovely to see people come and enjoy it. And, you know, like, the thing of skateboarding's awesome anyway. You know, people have a great time skateboarding, end of story. Like, and if we can help them get on board and have a role, then so be it, you know. Like, but yeah, I'd love to go back to getting some boards back in Perth and that whole process, like doing that process again and getting back to sort of the roots of it, really.
I'm intrigued. I mean, you've kind of told us the origin story, but I'm really intrigued by the combo of skate, cafe and art, because I wasn't really able to find anything that has all three in one, which, you know, from a business perspective is a really good point of difference. Obviously, that's not how you came about, like it evolved through the events. But do you ever sit back and just kind of go, how did I come up with that? Yeah. How did it evolve to that? You were a dude that did boards and then you did music stuff, and then now you've got, you know, you've got premises and you've got these really three quite diverse, but they do fit together.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I mean, it really was initially, obviously, the thing of, you know, we'd literally bump into someone and they'd be like, oh, you know, you got to meet my friend, you know, whatever his name is, you know, like, old mate, he's a great artist. And we'd be like, oh, yeah, right, have a beer, you know, have a chat or whatever, and go online, like, messaging each other and go, hey, man, love to do a board with you. Really love your work. I think it would look great on a skateboard. Would you like to be a part of the next exhibition, la, la, la. And he or she would be like, yep, no worries, done. And some people, I mean, 99% of people were like, jumped at the opportunity. And then it was a lot of learning really at that time as well about, you know, I guess like how artists work and you know, the fact that they need to make money and how we can make, also for musicians, how we can make this business model sort of sustainable, you know. I mean, having a dad that's a musician, you know that how hard it is to make a living and to, you know, to create like a sustainable business model, so to speak, where everyone can get paid in some ways is also quite rewarding. And but yeah, I think initially it was just like the skateboards and the artists, and then when we're having events as the musicians. But now, like, and then the cafe was really like, I knew that I'd never survived on the beach in Scarborough selling retail, and I wasn't really interested in just doing that either. And the hospitality thing was something that came quite naturally in terms of being able to just talk shit with people at the cafe all day. But also, and it was in my heritage as well. You know, my grandmother had a cafe and you know, fish and chip shop. You're and my right. parents had a cafe. So it was all this. I only really realised it after we opened, you know, and it was like, oh, well, actually that makes sense now. Like, that's why I did it. But I remember, like, prior to opening as well, maybe a month before I opened, I just sat there one night and I just about had a breakdown. I said, what the freaking hell have I done? Mm-hmm. Like, you idiot. Like, you're going to go open this. Like, I literally was, like, kicking myself because I knew how hard it was for my parents running a business, you know, through those early 90s and that. And I remember just thinking, you idiot. Like, what have you done? And then just push through, and now that's ancient history, you know, and it's sort of a different time, I guess, and it's worked. But I actually also know that, like, I learned a lot off them, you know, and, like, probably instilled a lot of confidence and, like, just learned a lot of lessons, I guess, to keep it going, and, like, and also just having a good work ethic, I think, driven in me from my parents probably help as well.
But it is also a timing thing, because that kind of cafe culture at the moment is such a norm and such a habit and a behaviour that didn't exist,
you know,
10, 15 years ago. So, and the fact that you've got that window, that easy takeaway, especially being on the beach, I mean.
Yeah, it's a bit of a no-brainer.
Well, and it's a quick transaction as well.
Yeah. I know that when we did the events, I remember just the first sort of half a dozen events or whatever it was, just thinking like, oh, wow, this is, you know, it's one thing making skateboards and friends coming around your house and buying a skateboard or a T-shirt or something, whatever. You know. But when we had the events, it was this just like the most amazing atmosphere. And I remember like going, if I could like get a bit of that atmosphere and stick it in a cafe or stick it in a permanent space where we're always, or recreate it, you know. And like we even, things like the way we built the shop was to have like this big acoustic ceiling, so we had that potential to have music in there at night and all this sort of thing. And just to sort of embrace that and like encapsulate everything in a permanent space was the brief, I guess. Yep. And yeah, I think we've sort of achieved that like quite well to an extent at times, you know. And yeah, it's just, that's the essence of it. I didn't really think about cafe culture or anything like that before I opened the shop. I just sort of wanted to create a space that everyone would enjoy and would enable us to continue doing what we were doing at the time, you know, having exhibitions and creating a platform where musicians could play and that we could just hang out in and have a good time, you know. And I think that's what's happened a fair bit over the last few years. So.
And I think also community, this a sense of community, what people expect of community and want to engage in community has really changed in the last few years. And a sense of place and a sense of belonging is becoming, not becoming more important, but we're more aware, I guess, of the importance of that. Once upon a time, just go to a show or an event and you'd come home. It is the vibe, like you say, and that's a big part of it, as well as, you know, good coffee. Expectations on good coffee are high these days, and it's really damn important because, you know.
Well, I think I certainly think people, there's a lot of people that feel like that's sort of home to them, you know, as well. And like they.
Exactly.
And they really, whether it's at events or day to day, we have like an amazing sort of customer base or whatever, you know, like, and there's, you know, those same lovely faces that come in every day, and some of them wouldn't know the front or back of a skateboard. The other one, you know, they just sort of know the place or the brand or whatever only through the coffee and the cafe, sort of the, you know, that actual physical place. But there's a lot of people, like even on the weekend we did a gig and there's like these musicians playing and they've never really heard of it and I'm having a yarn with them and they're just, at the end of it, we're just so stoked and appreciative of being invited to play. And that, for me, that's like enough of a reward, you know, that's like what it's all about really. And then I think that sort of every person that's ever played, exhibited, worked, danced, whatever it might be, feel that there's a little bit of them that belongs in there, you know, like they feel a little bit of part of it, no matter in which way they've been involved with the shop or whatever. So, yeah, and people that remember those early events, like the ones were in the old Contatio building, across the road, they just like still talk about that now, you know. And it's those sort of bigger events were pretty pretty wild, you know, and really sort of shaped what has sort of come of the space, I guess.
Because you've got a much smaller space to work within.
Yeah, the inside is, and then when we sort of activate that laneway at night, it still can be quite big. Like we've had events there with 400 people, you know, it's sort of, that was like maxed out. We had to get some extra fencing in for that one and extend the space a bit. But yeah, like sort of, you know, like 200 or 300 people is a great number, and you have like a, you know, there's plenty of people around that want to come down and dance under the stars or whatever, you know, and outside. It's a pretty unique, once sort of activated, once that space is created with the stage and lights and bands and stuff, it's quite a unique sort of outdoor entertainment area, so to speak. And I think it's like, yeah, when the weather's good, it's awesome, you know. It's lovely to be able to utilize it, you know, and do it. So it's sort of like when we're doing the other spaces where it was a, you know, big old warehouse that's about to get knocked down or whatever it might be, and this is a temporary activation. This is more like an ongoing activation, obviously, where we can, you know, have 10 events there a year or 20 events or whatever it might be. So,
and where does your audience come from? Are they locals?
All around,
or?
I think, hey. Okay. No, I think mainly a lot of locals. There's a lot of repeat offenders, so to speak, but also there's, you know, like obviously anyone that's exhibiting, if you have a crew that, you know, from Frio or something exhibiting art, then their crew come up and, you know, see the space for the first time or, you know, wherever they're from. So you get like, I think just all the time, constantly we're seeing new faces come through the door, which is really nice. And it's certainly not limited to just Scarborough and the surrounds. There's people always visiting from all over the place. So that's lovely, you know. It's good just to see people sort of coming in and checking out. And I think when they've come to an event where it's been really, you know, good music or whatever, and they've had a good time, then they sort of get it.
And in terms of the work that you exhibit in your gallery space, which you were saying earlier didn't exist, one space morphed into two spaces.
Yeah.
What do you look for with regards to what you exhibit?
Oh, it's pretty, the door's pretty wide open. Yeah, we've had everything, like just from all arrays. And that was, you know, I sort of, because it's a pretty cute, tiny little gallery, I didn't really want to be too much of an art snob and sort of say, oh, no, sorry, mate, your work's not good enough to be in there or whatever it might be. Because that's not a thing anyway, because it's subjective. But I think, we try and sort of make it all welcoming and sort of invite whoever wants to go in there. You know, we've had, you know, people that have exhibited the first photo they've ever exhibited, to people that are the guy that's exhibiting at the moment, Jose, his work sells for 10 grand, you know, and he's like massive pieces. And we've had a bunch of other artists through Perth that are renowned, and we've had like our barista who drew for the first time and put a work up, you know. So it's like everyone and anyone's welcome, you know, and that's what it's about. And we get to sort of have their work up, you know, every day while people are in there having a coffee. So it's obviously not just a place for an opening exhibition or that sort of thing. It sort of runs ongoing. Yep. So it's about, like, I guess, you know, it goes back to that original thing of not being quite open-minded in and flexible in what type of gallery it is, you know, gallery in inverted commas. But
it's good, you know, though, because like, it provides that kind of grassroots opportunity then for people that are starting out.
Yeah.
Which is a hard door to get into sometimes.
And I think for artists, definitely. For sure. I think that's and it's like, you know, like someone wants to go out and have their own exhibition. Like, there's a lot to it, to setting up a space and doing it properly and everything. And that's essentially what we tried to do, is just have that space for people. And I think I've, you know, after doing it for so long, I can hopefully provide them with a bit of good advice on how to exhibit right and curate the show. You know, curate their exhibition as good as they can. And yeah, that's really what it's about. It's just sort of, and I think the biggest reward is for people, you know, we get this thing, one of the guys that exhibited a little while ago, it was his first show, you know, and everyone's always nervous and like they're stressing out, like, oh, you know, what am I going to do? Like, you know, not sort of like, don't worry, it'll be fine. Like, every person has this sort of, you know, that sort of anxiety or whatever it might be around having it. And it's 9 out of 10 times it's the exact same result at the end of the exhibition. They're just elated, and whether they've sold one piece or sold out, it's always been the same. You know, it's always been just what, you know, they're just really grateful, obviously, but also just really happy. And, you know, all that energy that people have put into the space, so to speak, that have come to visit and check it out, and, you know, them talking to the artists and them, you know, like, you know, explaining why that, what that art is about or whatever it might be, like that energy is transferred through to each other. And yeah, the artist or the photographer or whoever may be exhibiting, or whether, or, you know, might be the musicians, are always sort of stoked to be able to do it, you know, and they've had a good time. And I think that's the biggest reward, really. You know, if they can sort of get something out of it, then it's good.
And it's a really big deal to put your work out there. So yeah, it's exciting that you can provide that opportunity. Yeah. And like you say, the energy, because nothing beats getting that positive reinforcement from people that aren't your friends and family or loved ones who are going to say the good stuff.
I've had people like come in, you know, an hour before the show and want to take it down, shitting themselves. And I'm like, you're not taking it down. It's staying up. Your name's on the bill. It's staying up. And they're like, all right. And then like the next day they're stoked. They're like, oh, thank God it's kept it up, you know. But, yeah, it's definitely it's a nice scale, you know, at that size. And you can have, like, we've had a bunch of bigger exhibitions where there's, you know, a couple hundred people in the laneway and drifting through and checking it out. We've also had some really beautiful shows just on Thursday nights, you know, little 3-hour shows or 4-hour shows where there's just, you know, they might get 80 to 150 people sort of drifting through the night, very casual sort of vibe, and they've been equally sort of successful, and it's just nice to have people in there at different times as well. And yeah, it's good.
And I guess that's part of what creates that kind of hub or vibe that people have a connection to, which is really special. And those are the intangibles, but they're the things that affect people the most.
Yeah.
You know, that's something that they take away and helps them in terms of their confidence moving forward. You know, mentoring and supporting artists is so vital, and it sounds like that's basically what you're doing.
Yeah, it wasn't really part of the plan. But
it doesn't sound like it.
It certainly happens from occasion to occasion, but you find yourself in there sort of 11 o'clock on a Wednesday night before we're about to have the exhibition and we're hanging out, you know, and I'm like, oh, I'm supposed to be in bed 3 hours ago, but that's all right. So it's all about, you know. But no, it is. It's just a good thing, you know. You're not going to – what else are you going to be sitting at home watching telly or something, you know. You get in there and do your thing. You meet, like, some amazing people and also, like, learning their stories about why they began painting or taking photos for the first time, whatever it might be. It's a, you know, it's certainly, I think, therapeutic for them. And I think, that's a really good reward, I think, just to, you know, get to know people, why people do certain things and stuff. But yeah, it's
fascinating.
Yeah, it is very interesting. But I feel, you know, initially it wasn't really, you know, it was just like, we create this space, and I knew what, you know, that I wanted to create this sort of space to encapsulate that stuff that we're doing at the start with the Livid pop-up events. But now it's I feel like a real obligation, or also just like a, you know, I feel an obligation, but I'm also very happy to provide that service and provide like a space that we can do those things. You know, the thing is about just making it as fun and sort of interesting as possible, you know, and utilizing the space as much as possible, I guess. But
and it's also a very accessible space in terms of a gallery, because it's not a formal space. It's a casual space, so people can wander through in a very relaxed way, even if they wouldn't normally be comfortable going and viewing art.
Yeah.
So it's a good entry point for audience as well.
Yeah. And it's sometimes when we have an actual exhibition, you know, no one's seen the art until – you know, that night, it's one thing, you know, and everyone comes in and like, oh, wow, what the hell? Like, how good is that? I'm buying that, whatever, you know, like exciting. But then also sometimes we'll go in and set up an exhibition just like when we're closed, and the next day the customers walk in for a coffee and they're like, what the hell's that? And, you know, like tripping out. So, it's quite interesting, you know. It's good just to see all that art go up on the walls and whatever, and that's what it's about. It's just sort of doing what we – sort of always wanted to do, you know, really. And I think
you're sharing art like you did with music.
Yeah.
And boards.
Yeah. And it was I remember like when we first opened the cafe going, oh, we could just do exhibitions anyway. We've got the space, like, oh, we'll just do one, you know. And we had my friend Greg Lewis, really, really good local photographer. We did an exhibition actually called The Fishbowl. Well, what did we something the fish. I think it was just in the fishbowl or something, and that actually came up because we were talking about how cool it would be if the old flight center in Coles was turned into like a pop-up gallery because it was like a fishbowl shape. And we're like, we'll call it. Then obviously that didn't happen because they didn't want us to do it. And then Greg's exhibition was a photographic study of local characters in Scarborough. And that was like obviously a bit of a metaphor for a fishbowl or whatever. And we had this exhibition, this photographic exhibition, and a big paste up on the wall out the side, and it was, yeah, wild. And then when I sort of did the new space in the gap, when we extended next door and did the space, it was originally just going to be a little pop-up, and we were thinking about turning the cafe into a bar. So I was just like, I'll just call it the fishbowl. It's pretty funny, you know, la, la, la. And then we just, I couldn't turn it into a bar anymore. I was like, oh, it's too good how it is. Keep it. So that's where we're at the moment, basically, you know. And it's really quite rewarding in a bunch of, it's a lot of work, but it's good fun.
When was the moment where you thought, this is cool, I think I've nailed something here? You know, like a moment of satisfaction.
I remember the very first exhibition we did. It wasn't quite there, but we did one in Leederville at this Studio 2, it was called. It was a little studio at the back of Greenies Panel and Paint in Leederville at the end of 2014. It was the first run of boards I ever did, and I was talking to my mate Keno, and he was like, oh, you got to meet this friend, and like this girl Jackie, and she ended up hooking us up with the space and got a sponsorship from Gage Rhodes and Custard Cider Co. and all these guys. And then we basically just had like a house party in this warehouse, and we built a skateboard ramp the night before and skated it, and my dad and some other mates, Tom and Lance, and that played music in the corner, and like it was super cool. I remember just thinking like that was pretty fun, and then, you know, like, should really try and do that a little bit more organised. And we did one in Claremont. The next one we did in Claremont, where we did 14 local surf and skate photographers. We actually like licensed the bar for the first time and dealt with councils and noise restrictions. And, you know, we got Colonial Brewery got on board and sponsored us. And we had the guys at El Grotto come in and do like a tequila bar and all this sort of stuff. And we had like Pratt bands playing DJs. And the actual aesthetic of the art or the photography and the boards being on the wall was really similar to what the shop is now, you know. That's that real clean white brick walls with gallery lights. And I think that was a sort of inspiration to, you know, as to where it is now. And the actual aesthetic and that night was amazing. You know, the atmosphere was awesome and whatever. And then the next one we had was that Ian and Eric's place in just down the road from Soggy Bones at Friday Studio, which is a really big space. And that was probably the turning point, I think, where I remember sitting afterwards at Soggy Bones going like down the road, you know, after we'd packed up and just thinking like that was fucking insane. Like we had like six bands play, and guys at the butcher shop had like a paint your own skateboard corner. We did like 26 or 28 boards with local artist stuff on it. All these like crew, like local artists that I really admire. And it was just this wild, it was like 400 people capacity, full PA, full bar, cocktails. Didn't have a clue. It was just complete chaos. Smoke machine got turned on for about 10 minutes, smoked the whole place out. Absolutely, absolute chaos, but awesome. And yeah, and it was like I remember sitting down afterwards just on a complete high, just sitting there going like, that was really, really good. Gonna have to keep doing that, you know. And
yeah,
and that was the turning point in terms of like, it's probably about a year after I quit architecture, and I remember thinking like, all right, we'll go down this path. And there's a few other pivotal moments as well. I think I remember at one point I used to work up north in the offshore sort of boat industry or whatever. And I remember thinking, I need, you know, I'm running pretty low on funds. Like, you know, these pop-up events aren't really going to cover rent or whatever. And I was like, I've got to get back up there and, you know, do a couple of swings and make some money, that classic sort of FIFO quick fix or whatever. And I sat there for a couple of days, you know, I was ringing all these people, old contacts I knew and old company and the company and like the union and all these people. And it was just depressing. I just couldn't get a break, save myself. And I was just like, spat it. I was basically like, nah, like there's got to be something else. And I randomly had a contact for the real estate agent who was looking after the old Contatio building in the heart of Scarborough. You know, the other events we did weren't really in the hood, so to speak. And I remember like going, I'm just going to text her and see, because it was the Three Oceans project, you know, that's going, the big towers and that. And I'm going to text her and see what they say, you know. And she sort of said, oh yeah, you can message this guy, you know, but don't like your luck. And I thought, oh yeah, okay. So I emailed this dude with this little proposal, worked on a little proposal for a few days and said, I really love to do like an activation in here, feature a bunch of street artists, do a gallery thing and some music and blah, blah, blah. I love the space, you know. And I knew that guy that had his rope access company in there before, and we thought about doing it when he had it, but it didn't really come together for whatever reason. And emailed this dude, Wade, and I think his name was Wade, and he goes, I love it, call me. Something, you know, and I thought, this is on the same day I gave up working away, basically. And I was like, what the hell's going on? And I rang him, and he's like, we went down and had a chat at the space, you know, and I was like, what can I and can't do? And he goes, look, we're bowling it over, knock yourself out. And for the next probably 5 or 6 weeks, another friend's and that, we built bars out of pallets, we cut walls down, we made things safe, we made dragged ramps down, then we built stages, set up the sort of lighting a bit better, and just like turned this 800 odd square meter warehouse, like in the heart of Scarborough, into this thing, and had a whole bunch of local, artists and street artists and graffiti guys and whoever, whatever else, come in and paint these walls, you know, and we just painted all the walls. Friend from over in Queensland flew over and did all this like amazing font work. And you didn't even know it was there, you know. Guys were up there. We were all up there for like 5-6 weeks doing this, creating this space. And then when the night came to have an event there, we had like a two-day event, like 12 bands playing there over the weekend, and a market and a bar at night and DJs, everything. And it was just insane. It was like it was absolute chaos, and in a really good way. You know, painted eight. You know, Jerome Davenport came in, and it was just after Prince died, and he painted like an 8x8 meter. Portrait of Prince on the end wall. You know, there's, if you look at the photos, it's just, it was so cool. And it was a real shame to lose that space. It still sort of pisses me off a fair bit today that they bowled it over and it sat there in a sand pile for so long, because we could have done a lot of great stuff. But it was basically through that process actually that the cafe started, because what happened was I was really pushing to get them to let us keep it, you know, like sort of saying like through the activation policy with the MRA and all these local policies or whatever, they were like, oh, look, they're just not going to give it to you, the council or the MRA. And I was like, they're not going to do it. They're going to bowl it over. They've given up on it, blah, blah, blah. I was like, righto. They said, why don't you hit up the guys that own, you know, Luna and the thing. And originally where the Galway Hooker was, which is like next to Cordingley's, and between the Cordingley's and Lookout, there was like a 500 square meter space there. And we emailed them and said, oh, can we do it? And they said, we love the idea, but the space got rented out yesterday. I was like, all right, no worries. So why don't you go over look at the Coles building? You know, there's a few empty units there. There was like 4 or 5 empty units over there. I was like, fucking Coles building, you know, like bloody dirty little laneway, you know, like, oh, right. And then I just like was basically sort of like, right, I think we can utilise this laneway. I remember just one day like walking, you know, sort of standing in that laneway with friends and saying like, I'm going to turn this space into like a live music venue basically, and do something, cafe, bar, whatever it is, like in that shop. And that's what we did. And then, you know, and it sort of worked out, but it's crazy to think back to those days, like that sort of almighty hesitation and stress about opening something or doing something, you know, and the fear of the unknown, and just sort of, but at the same time, the excitement of just getting in there and having a crack and doing it and just letting the sort of universe work it out, so to speak. But yeah, it was super fun activating that thing. Even getting guys like Luke O'Donohue and Muchie and that to paint the walls up, and you know, all that sort of stuff just adds to the area. I think it's like probably the last sort of dodgy little section in Scarborough, so to speak. It's getting pretty polished, but it's it's great. It's good fun. I don't know. I think there's still a bit of work to do in there. We know we can sort of improve it and make it a more like, where we can do activation more, like whether it's build a little stage or just make it easier so we can do stuff more often.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you next, because, you know, the theme of this is tell me what you're working on. So what are you looking towards? What's next?
Well, it's been an interesting time with obviously with all the COVID restrictions and that, and like we realise we've basically been working under this stuff longer than we haven't, you know, because cafe's like 3.5 years old now, and the last 2 years we've been dealing with all that stuff. But it's, yeah, essentially it really at the moment with the Scarborough area is just to sort of create, yeah, like a more, an easier way of setting up and packing down, because it's that activation stuff, you know, try and sort of improve the fluidity or the efficiency of setting up and that, so we can do things a lot easier. And then just sort of just doing it, you know, and like looking at things. I really want to do like a multi-day sort of music event, 2 or maybe 3 day music event in there if we can. There's just the demand for, I think, and like with, you know, from the musicians' side of things is so there. Like no one's played bugger all, and you know that scale, you know, 200-300 people saying it's quite a low risk scale amidst COVID sort of stuff, but it's also quite intimate, but also like big enough to have a pretty epic show. And yeah, let's just try and see what happens there. But there's a bunch of events we'd like to do that are on the list. And at the same time, working on a new spot in Fremantle, which is going to be the little brother from the other side of the river. So a permanent sort of small bar cafe space down there, but slightly different, less retail orientated and more cafe hospitality bar sort of stuff, with a little stage in the corner to have a good time. So that's the next sort of big project, I guess, out of down the river, so to speak, down the coast a little bit. So that's pretty exciting. It's been sort of a year and a bit in the making, so we're going to look forward to start cracking down there. But yeah, I love to do, you know, like in Scarborough, definitely some series of art exhibitions and music, obviously, and just keep pushing along there. And then on the side of the brand, just to really get back and make some boards again, you know, and sort of look at potentially doing little workshops with people where they pick out their board and we can shape it up. And that sort of stuff was a part of it early in the piece, you know. It was really sort of like, let's do that. And you can have, you probably wouldn't do bucks parties or anything, but you can have days where your mates, you know, buy your voucher to go shape your own board or something like that, you know, it would be really fun. So yeah, I really want to sort of get into that again as well. So yeah, the physical thing of like creating a skateboard with your own hands is like really therapeutic as well. It's like super rewarding, and come out and they're all wonky and you got to fix it up, and it just creates like a super one-off board, and you can just have, you know, it is that thing of using your hands, I think, and whether it's through music or art or creating something is certainly a very therapeutic thing.
And we're all creative, and it's a great way to remind people that you can actually do this.
Yeah.
And you can do something cool.
Yeah.
And it's yours.
Yeah. I think more and more people every day sort of think, oh, maybe I'll just pick up an instrument or a skateboard or, a bloody paintbrush or whatever it might be, and certainly, find themselves or whatever, you know, find something out of that. And we had a girl, Tani, she still comes to the shop all the time, but she did an exhibition last April. It was called No Room for Comfort, because she basically turned her bedroom into an art studio during COVID, because she always locked down and, like out of work, whatever. And she started painting, and now she's doing it like basically full time. She's painting all the time. She sold out basically at the show. I think she sold 23 out of 25 pieces on her debut show.
Wow.
Super cool, you know, like, and now she paints all the time. She had a store at the market last week, and yeah, it's just like you constantly see people sort of finding things that they get a kick out of, you know, and I think that's, you know, important to do, to have a hobby, or just, you know, like just to do something creative is really good. And it's equally, I guess, rewarding for people, you know, for people as well, because people like see something and they just like go, wow, I got to have that piece of art on my room, you know, on my lounge room wall or whatever it might be. So yeah, I think everyone's sort of, I mean, without that stuff, what the hell would we be doing, you know? Like without art and photography and music and skateboarding, what else would be happening, you know? But, you know, but yeah, I think it all ties in really well together, and it always has, you know. There's plenty of examples of that through skateboarding history and just life in general of characters that have, all those things have been a huge part of their lives, you know. It will continue to be.
One last thing. Where can people find out what you're up to?
Just follow the socials, really, is probably the best bet, either on Instagram, Livid Skateboards, or Livid Skate Cafe, either of those. You'll be updated as regularly as I can be bothered putting something up there. all the events and that go on those things, you know. And yeah, any event, just usually we try and sort of have one a month or if not more, and, yep, and just sort of keep that ball rolling. And we're just going to hopefully ride this COVID wave out and then really send it once we can, you know. And but for now, yeah, there's plenty of, I mean, there's just so many talented people lining up at the door wanting to play, or, you know, and whatever. And the walls are constantly revolving with artists as well. So it's an exciting time. And I think, like, locally, it's cool to provide that space down in the area I grew up in and that as well, you know, so it's fun.
Cool. I love it. I've loved hearing the story. It's been absolutely fascinating. And I've really enjoyed chatting to you. Thank you so much,
you're
Oscar.
Welcome. Thanks for
really appreciate your time and good luck with it. I look
thanks
forward
for having
to
me.
It. Thanks, Oscar.
No worries. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
This project has been made with the support of the City of Stirling through their Community Creativity Fund.